You are listening to the audio podcast of Gethsemane Baptist Church, located in Long Beach, California, pastored by Eli Reynolds.
Psalm 40 in your Bibles, and we'll look down at verses 1 through 3. Now, I'm getting a little bit, it's at 4:30 right now, and I'm usually getting up on Sunday nights about 10 minutes sooner than this. So I'm going to take my time still. I want you to know that in advance. Like, Pastor, you're normally done at 6. Well, guess what? I didn't get up in time. So here we go. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Now, David here is talking about a deliverance that God gave to him. God delivered him in some way. And we oftentimes would apply this to our salvation, that God rescued us from where we were stuck, from where we were hopeless. And he set us upon a rock, upon himself, on the Lord Jesus Christ, and established our goings. But look at verse 3, and it says this, and he hath put a new song in my mouth. Well, what's that new song? Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. I think it's interesting that it says, see it. They shall see my song. In other words, hey, that song is going to become such a part of them, a part of him, that people will be able to tell a difference about him. And so we're talking about singing and music tonight, which are essential parts of your Christian life. I don't understand how a Christian could think that they can operate and function without music. It is such an essential part of your Christian life. Now, some of you are gifted musically. Maybe you are a gifted musician in some way. You can read notes, you can play an instrument, or you can sing well. Some of you are, you know, you can carry your tune, you can sing, you know how to do that. And some of you, bless God, you make a joyful noise, and praise the Lord for you too, okay? But we're thankful for wherever you're at in this. But we want to look at what are some biblical principles when it comes to music? What are some guidelines that we ought to be observing when it comes to the music that we listen to? I'm not here to tell you tonight that you have to listen to only what I listen to. If you don't have all the CDs I have, then you know you're not listening. No, there is some leeway here for you to listen to things that maybe I don't like, and me to listen for things that you don't like. But is there a standard? So we're going to talk about this. Let's pray together. Father, we ask for your blessings now upon the message. Would you instruct us tonight? I know the message is more of instruction this evening. And I pray that you would give us good thoughts about how we can please and honor you with what we listen to. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. What type of music are we supposed to sing? What type of music is good for us as a Christian? What type of music is right for us to listen to? Are there different types of music for different events? Well, absolutely. You know, when you go to a funeral, you don't have the Superman theme playing. You know, there are different times, and when you go to a ball game, you don't hear, you know, some Moonlight Sonata or something. There are different, obviously, times for different things. But David here is talking about when he was rescued, God gave him a song. God gave him a song, and that song was about praising God. I want you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. I want to just say this. When you got saved, your song should have changed. I'm going to say that again. When you got saved, your song should have changed. What you listen to, what you're taking in, the song that comes out of your heart should have changed the moment you got saved. Absolutely. I remember I was saved at six years of age, but I was a, you know my testimony, I was away from the Lord for all of my teenage years, and I was started early on music. My mom, when I was a kid, made us sing in church. My mom, as she sang behind this pulpit, my mom has an incredible voice, like just an incredible, beautiful voice. I love listening to my mom sing. It's hard for me to listen to her sing without crying, but I love her voice, but I was not gifted that, but she was, and I loved to hear her sing. But she would make us stand up in our little Christian school in Arkansas, in our church, and sing on the pulpit when I was like 5 years old, 4 years old. So I got started early in that. But then as I got away from the Lord, and my dad was lost for many, many years, most of my life, basically, I got involved in some other types of music. But when I, and I'll tell more about that in a little bit, but when I got into church and I realized, hey, okay, like, you know, I want the Lord full time. I want to serve him. I was about 16 or 17. I took CDs. Now, our young people may not remember what a CD looks like. But those of you know what a CD is. You know what a cassette tape is. Some of you know what an 8-track and a vinyl because you had the original one and you were there when Alexander Graham Bell invented the, okay. Some of you go back further, and I'm not an old man, but I still remember CDs and tapes and things like that. And I took all of my CDs. I counted up, I had $2,000 worth of CDs. I had accumulated over years and years and years. I love music. You won't find anybody that loves music more than me. And I put them into some trash bags in my garage. And I took an axe, and I destroyed those CDs. You say, well, why didn't you give them to somebody else? Because I didn't want to give that to somebody else and have them listen to bad music. But I knew that I am different now. God has a hold of my heart, and so I need to act different. I need to have a new song. I knew that. I recognized that my Christian life, there was a very big part of it that I was going to miss out on, and maybe miss out on God's will, if I did not get the right music. The soundtrack to our lives, that music is so important. And I will tell you, after I got rid of my music, I didn't have music to replace it with at first, which is no good. Because if you have no music, you're going to find music, especially if you love music. And so my friend said, hey, take this tape I have. And he gave me a tape. And I won't say the name of the tape, because some of you may actually know this family's name, because they used to travel. I don't know why they traveled and sang. They were terrible. I have no idea who would have them come to their church. They gave me the tape. And listen, when you go from listening to professionally made music to a tour group family with like a 6-year-old squawking through the whole first and second verse, hitting the key of J because there's no such key. You know, they're hitting that key. And I'm like, this is what I'm going to be enduring for the Lord. And thankfully, somebody gave me a Crown College CD called Forgiven Forever. And I just, on repeat, listened to that CD over and over and over. And it was very high church. It was very, kind of operatic, kind of singers and stuff. And I was like, all right, this is better than that family. That family needs to stop immediately. I think they're doing more damage than good. But anyway, I remember a family came to our church called the Epley family. And when I was a teenager, and we got to know the Epleys really well, and they had some CDs, and I was like, okay, I can listen to that. And then it just from there, the interest grew more and more and more. But it wasn't that way at first. At first, my flesh did not like the Christian music that we had. But I want to show you some principles today. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 10. This is a great principle as we're talking about standards and convictions on Sunday nights, as we're talking about how do we build our own standards, how do we find what the Bible has to say, and some guidelines and guardrails here. This is a great principle. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Great principle when finding your convictions here. See, we often ask the wrong question. We often ask, what is wrong with this? I've got this music. What is wrong with this music? I've got this boyfriend, this girlfriend. What is wrong with that person? I've got this or that. What is wrong with this TV program? But the Bible tells us to prove and examine what is right about it. Can you prove tonight why your music is right? See, no, Pastor, prove that it's wrong. No. The Bible says prove what is acceptable to the Lord. Prove what's right about it. We're going to see this in another passage of Scripture and a little bit later on. So that's a great principle to start with. When we look at our music, can we look at the music we listen to and say, yes, this pleases God? And how can we know that? Look, if you would, here's an interesting thought before I give you a bunch of points. Look at chapter 5, verse 19. What you're about to read is one of the only, there's two things in the New Testament regarding music that you're commanded to do. That's it. In the New Testament, there's only two commands about what you're supposed to do with music, and they're both kind of the same thing. Look what it says here. Speaking, in verse 19, to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. One of the only things you're commanded to do is sing with one another about God. Speaking to yourselves. That's not just saying I'm going to speak a song to you. It's a singing collectively. We're commanded to do that. When we stand up and Brother Jones leads a song, or Brother Delgado leads a song, or I lead a song, and we're leading collectively, that is fulfilling a command of Scripture. And we'll see it again in Colossians chapter 3 in just a little bit. In other words, look, why don't we want to have a worship team up here? Well, there's about 87 reasons. But one of the reasons is because I don't want someone else worshiping God while everyone else is quiet. We're commanded to be participants in the worship of God, to be participants in the singing and praising of God. We're supposed to be. So I look at the congregation sometimes, and I did not look tonight because I did not want to, I didn't want to notice this and be preaching this and say, ah, I saw you. But sometimes I'll look around the auditorium and see who's singing, who's not singing, who's looking down during the special, who's counting the vents on the ceiling during the special, who's counting the rocks that we painted over here. Oh, there's about 3,000 rocks over there, Pastor. I've been counting them for 10 years. Oh, how about you participate in the music ministry? I think that'd be a good thing to do. I want to give you some principles, some principles. Now, I will just flat out tell you, I have so much material that I left on my desk on purpose because there's no way I can cover it all. I have a lot to say about music. I'm going to boil down a lot of things to some very basic thoughts tonight, okay, to try to help you with identifying in your own heart when you go sit in your car, what are you going to listen to? Number one, our music, here's a biblical principle, our music should be different. Our music should be different. David said that God put a new song in his heart, a new song in his heart. I think of 1 Peter chapter 1, where the Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. So God expects holiness, that moral purity. He expects that in us because he said, I am holy, be like me, be holy. That means that what we put into our bodies, our ears and our minds and our hearts, that should be holy too, because we want to be holy. How can we be holy if we're putting in ungodliness all the time? So there's a principle in that. How about 2 Corinthians 6:17? Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. So a separation. God says, hey, come out from among the heathen people. He's talking to the people of Corinth, right? We've been dealing with this on Sunday mornings. And he's saying, hey, you are in this wicked society. Come out from among them. Be different than them. Be separate, saith the Lord. And you know what that would include? I think not just in how they, I think you'd apply to everything, how they dress, how they act, but what they listen to and what they do as well. So, 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So, excuse me. So loving the world, the things of the world, that should not trickle in to our music either, because music's such an important thing. Now, I'll just tell you flat out, and I could tell you the many, many reasons why. I am against, personally, contemporary Christian music. The CCM movement, I'm against it. Why? Because they are not different. They are not separate. For the vast, vast majority, you say, well, Pastor, this one, well, maybe one or two. Maybe you could find one or two good ones. I don't know, but I'm not into that. But they deny the scriptural teaching here. They're trying to bridge a gap that should not be bridged. God is saying, be separate. And they're saying, hey, let's come together. Let's have the same music but different lyrics. And oftentimes, so many things are true that you could take away the lyrics of a lot of music and not be able to tell what type of music it is. You couldn't tell if it was Christian. You couldn't tell if it was Taylor Swift. You couldn't tell if it, whatever it was. Because if you, it matters both things. The music matters, but the lyrics matter too. I think a lot of people say, well, it's just the lyrics. No, it's both. They go together. You can't just take lyrics and put it to worldly music. In fact, it was in, I want to say it was the 90s, Time Magazine had on the cover, it said, the devil's music with new lyrics. It was talking about contemporary Christian music. The world identified it that way, as devil's music with good lyrics. And I'm not just preaching about contemporary Christian music tonight, but I think we're called to have a new song to be different. I've got books in my office from people that came out of the contemporary Christian movement that talk a lot about, hey, this is what's going on behind the scenes and reasons. And again, I think you could probably find some good music in there somewhere if you wanted to wade through it all. But that's not what I believe is scriptural. We ought to have a different song, a new song. Come out from among them and be separate. Be different in what you partake in, what you listen to. That's a principle. I don't know how we could argue with that. I want to just make this a thought as well, and just an encouragement, kind of a caution, a side thought for you. I want to encourage you to be very careful about beat-driven music. You know, I could make music on this platform tonight that you would all know what it is. Beat-driven music is not what God emphasized. Look at your Bible. Look at verse 19 again. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making drum beats in your heart to the Lord. No, by the way, can I say this? Beats are in every music. Every music has beats. But it gets out of order when we're emphasizing beats over melody. Every song in your songbook has a time signature. Tells you how many beats per measure. It's right over here. You can see it. How many beats per measure? And the other one is how many beats a quarter note, whatever it is, you know. And those of you who play piano or whatever, you know what I'm talking about. Every music has beats, but what we see in our world is an overemphasis on sensual beats. Now, I could talk about drum beats. I know some of you are drummers out there, I understand. I could talk about it for a very long time, the history of it and the dangers of it. A lot of times when beat is emphasized, sensuality is emphasized. Melody is what we're talking about. God is a God of order, not chaos. Melody first. Every music has a beat, but the melody is more important. Melody enhances and drives home the message. Our music should be different. I think that's a clear scriptural principle. Number two, our music should be doctrinally sound. We learned about doctrine this morning in church, didn't we? I hope you did. I hope you were paying attention and you got that word there. But music should be doctrinally sound. What are you singing about? I don't know if you ever listen to country music, or if you ever have. You know, those of you who, you have a new song now, but you listen to country music. Some of you did. I know you did. And what is it about? It's about drinking beer, flirting with girls, being immoral, your dog dying, your truck breaking down. You know, these random things, going to go out party on a Friday night with football. I mean, it's just like, you know, going to crack some, like there, I don't know where I was. I have a curse because I've listened to music for so long that anywhere I go, I can't help but notice the music. I can't help. I will just notice and how my brain works. I've learned the song within the time I've been there. And I'm like, I think I could play this now. And there are just songs that you hear at restaurants and they're just talking about alcohol. You're talking about drinking and partying. But when we're singing a new song, shouldn't what we're singing about be right? Is what you're singing, what you're listening to, is there truth in it? Is there godly truth in the song? Or is there falsehood? I have a problem with Hillsong music. I don't listen to Hillsong music. I have a problem with Bethel music. These are big names in Christian music. If you're into that, you know. I have a problem with Elevation Church music. All of this. Why? Well, many reasons. But one of them is their doctrine is wrong, let alone the lack of separation and the lack of about 50 other things. But the doctrine, there's wrong doctrine in some of this music that's out there. There is a song that we sing in churches, and boy, I cannot remember it right now. But in the song is a Calvinistic doctrine about how I didn't choose God, but God chose me to be saved. And I'm like, why are we singing? Why are we singing songs that we disagree with doctrinally? Probably because we don't know doctrine. But doctrinally sound songs. Number three, our music should be doctrinal. You say, well, okay, we want to make sure it's right, but there should be doctrine in the song is what I'm saying. When you sing a song, there should be truth in that song. Look, I'm not trying to mock other music. I'm not trying to come across as mocking, as if everything I believe in is absolute right and everything you believe in is absolute. No, but there is a lot of music that we call 7-Eleven songs. Anybody ever heard about a 7-Eleven song? A 7-Eleven song. What am I talking about? You say the same seven words 11 times, and you just switch them up. I love Jesus. Jesus, I love. I, Jesus, love I. You know, we just switch the words, and we sing the same thing in a different way. And for the whole 3 minutes of the song, it bothers me to no degree. Look, is that good, saying I love Jesus? Absolutely. Take your songbook, if you would. Hold your songbook. Get a songbook out, and there should be one right in front of you. Blow the dust off it if you've never used it, all right? But I want to show you the difference. Sometimes just look at like some of these songs that are out there and read the lyrics to them. You know, these songs about, I don't even know if I've ever heard this song, that God's love is reckless. Where do you get that biblically? How is God's love reckless? You know, but it's a cool word. It's a cool word, and that word, you know, really gets people because we got to have the new words. Look at song one. Notice doctrine, teaching. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Wow, you already got some doctrine right there. And wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. For me, it was in the garden of Gethsemane. He prayed, not my will, but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. He took my sins and my sorrows, verse 4. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Look at song. Keep going to your songbooks there to song number 5. Song 5. Just notice the doctrine and the teaching in these songs. They're different. Well, they're not catchy, and they don't have the cool guitar solo in the middle. Who cares? What is your music supposed to be doing? Just make you feel good? That is a very shallow, immature type of music. When it's just, make me feel good. That sounds very childish. When it comes to spiritual maturity. I'm talking about spiritual maturity. Look at song. It's hard to say that. I'm used to it in my Bible there. Song 5. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty. God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Doctrine, verse 2. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim, when's the last time you heard a song with the word cherubim in it? Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, which word and art and evermore shall be. The next page, I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise. Verse 2, I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. Boy, these are great songs. Great songs. Immortal, invisible, God only wise on page 14. Page 28, great is thy faithfulness. O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. God doesn't change. God doesn't change. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. What am I talking about? I'm talking, you got a songbook right here full of doctrine. Full of doctrine. Can I just say this? If you know these songs and you've memorized these songs and you carry those songs with you, I will guarantee you this. You know more Bible than you think you do. Why? Because you've been singing it. Because you've got doctrine. Jesus is holy. I love Jesus. Jesus is holy. I love Jesus. Okay, you've learned two things. That Jesus is holy and you love Jesus. From a lot of these songs. You sing the mighty power of God. You sing holy, holy, holy. You learn that God is in three persons. It's called the Trinity. You learn that there are angels bowing down before God right now crying holy, holy, holy. You learn doctrine about salvation. All because you've been singing the right type of song. Wow, you probably know more Bible than you think you do if you're singing good songs. Our songs should be doctrinal. Why? Because the music that we sing teaches us. The music that we sing shapes us and sanctifies us if it's the right kind of music. You know, you see a guy walking down the street here. You see him in a cowboy hat. You see him with one of those big old belt buckles. You see him with the cowboy boots on. He's got spurs. He's walking bow-legged. What type of music would you say he listens to? Well, I'll say this. If it's a white guy, it's country music. If it's a Hispanic, maybe it's the music with all the trumpets. I don't know what it's called. I'm not trying to be offensive. I don't know what it's called. All I know is my neighbors love it. They love that music, and I don't. But what I'm saying is, you can guess. How about if a person walks into our church dressed gothic? You think they're listening to Amazing Grace on the way home? Or would you say heavy metal? Normally, by how someone dresses and acts, you can guess the music they listen to. Why? Because music shapes us. It lends itself to a lifestyle. I know this in my own life. I started listening to rock music. I got the chain. I grew my hair out. I had the earring. Why? Because I was being conformed into the image of that music. And then when I got the right kind of music in, my lifestyle changed then. Colossians 3:16 says this. Listen to this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. How? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. In other words, the word of God is supposed to be teaching you through songs. How about the doctrine that we're listening to? Are we listening to good doctrine? Godly music is about more than what you feel. Godly music is about what you know. I want to say that again because you need to hear that. Godly music is about more than what you feel. It's about what you know. You don't feel good when you come to church sometimes. I didn't feel good today coming to church. I'm battling a cold. I have very contagious COVID. I've been coughing over everybody as soon as I could. No, I'm kidding. But some of you are like, he touched my hand. No, I'm just kidding, all right? But we don't always feel like going to church. We don't always feel like doing certain things. So when you're listening to godly music, it's not about what you feel, it's about what you know. If you live by your feelings, where would you be? But you live by what you know. You live by what you know according to Scripture. Number four, our music should be dedicated to God. Our music should be dedicated to God. Everything we do is to be done for the glory of God. Everything we do. Not the glory of the singer, but the glory of God. So if someone is standing up to sing a song, or they're playing an instrument, or whatever they're doing, if it's because I want to look good, I want the attention on me, then that is the wrong thing. And, it's amazing to me to see how people act when they become famous and how they start dressing, how they start acting, because really the attention is all upon them. But whatever we do, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do all to the glory of God. So would that include the music you listen to? Absolutely. Are you doing it to the glory of God? When you stand up and sing a song, I hope every one of you that sings, or you play an instrument, or you serve in some music capacity, I hope it's for the glory of God. Can I tell you something that would transform our church services? Is if everybody in here, when you stood up and you sang a hymn from the hymn book, you did it to the glory of God. That would change a lot about our church. Because what I see when I, and I'm not here to get on you tonight, but I see a lot of people on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and we're singing, and we're not thinking about the words. We're not singing to God. We're thinking, are we going to do all the verses? He's saying all four of Calvary covers it all tonight. Who does he think we are? How about you sing to the glory of God and think about the salvation that he's given you and the transformation that took place? Well, if it was more exciting. No, you're doing it by your feelings again. Listen, truth should excite you more than entertainment. It's the truth. Are you more excited about how you feel today? Or are you more excited about the fact that heaven is real and you'll go there one day forever with Jesus Christ? Truth is more exciting. Hey, when you're singing, look, I understand that our music at churches are not pleasing to the flesh. But they're not supposed to be. They're here to lift your heart to God and say, hey, I'm here to worship and serve my Creator. And as I'm sitting in this pew, whether anybody sees it or not, I'm not singing for Jason sitting next to me. I'm not singing for Michael sitting next to me. I'm singing because of Jesus Christ. And I'm singing because he saved me. And I love watching some of the people sing in our church. I love watching them over here. We've got some ladies in the back that sit over here, and they're back there just, you know, and they're just getting with it, and they're looking up to heaven, and I'm like, hey, I love it. Why? Because they're not singing for the person next to them. They're not singing just because it's what we do. They're singing because they love Jesus. Is that why you sing? Is that the song you're singing? I want to say number five. Our music should be discerned spiritually. Philippians chapter 1, verse 10 says this, and if you want to write these references down, you can. Philippians 1, 10. That ye may approve things that are excellent. Approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Approving the things which are excellent. We saw earlier about approving that which is good. Listen, here's what I mean by this. If we're honest with ourselves, and you've been saved for any length of time, you can hear certain songs and know. You can just know. I don't need to, and I don't want to, and I never would, just come sit in your car with you and say, play every song you have on your phone, and let's discern together. I don't want to do that. I have no desire in that. I don't want you to come listen to my music either, all right? But what I'm saying is, you can't have someone with you all the time saying, nope, that's a bad song. You hear that beat back there? I don't know if that's really good for you. Is that going to lead you down the wrong path? I don't know. Hear that? Oh, they're singing. It's very sensual. Sounds like they swallowed the microphone. How about you not listen to that one? No one's going to do that except for one person, the Holy Spirit of God, that you have with you at all times. Now, I don't trust you, but I trust the Holy Spirit in you. I don't trust me, but I trust the Holy Spirit in me. And if I sincerely want to know, and if you sincerely want to know, Lord, is this music pleasing to you? Ask him. And I think most of the time, as Christians, as you're growing in grace and you are giving it to God, most of the time the Holy Spirit will tell you, no, that ain't the one. that's good. Listen to that one. I think many of the times spiritual discernment is absolutely necessary. If we're really listening to him, I believe he'll tell you. I want to say number 6. Our music should draw us to Jesus Christ. Our music should draw us to Jesus Christ. Don't worry, I only have 42 points left and we'll be done. Our music should draw us to Jesus Christ. Listen, the music that we listen to should not lead us to more defeat. That's not good music. It should lead us, I've said this for years, the right music never leads you down the wrong path. That's my quote. My son asked me today, Dad, do you have any quotes? Do you make any quotes? There, Titus, write it down. The right music will never lead you down the wrong path, all right? Eli Reynolds, original 2024, all right? My music growing up, I started with the oldies. My dad raised me on the oldies. So I was hearing, you know, Build Me Up Buttercup, Don't Break My Heart, Earth Angel. Some of you are like, oh, I remember when that came out. You're old. I'm just kidding. I remember listening to those. I remember You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog. Some of you are getting excited in church right now. Good night. I remember hearing these songs growing up. And then my dad loved music. He's not a musician. I've never even heard the man sing. But he loved music. Then it would get to the 60s. We weren't Beatles people. We didn't really listen to the Beatles. I don't even remember many of their songs, but I'd listen to some 60s music. Then it was 70s, and it was the Bob Segers, and it was the Led Zeppelins, and it was all that kind of group. And Pastor, you shouldn't mention it. You all know them. So then I was born in 84. So 80s music is what I grew up on. And, you know, remember the big hair? Everybody had big hair. Like the lady's hair was like this, the guy's hair was like this, you know, and a curly and everything. And so I grew up, and then I'm listening to 80s music. Wasn't a huge fan, but going, I'm talking 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years of age, I'm listening to all this stuff. When we're in the car, there's just always music on, whatever the radio station was. Then as I'm becoming a teenager, I'm listening to 90s music. And then when I get to my later, to 13 or 14, I discover alternative music and grunge. And some of you remember that stage there. And flannels and chains. Think of that, okay? And I was into the grunge music. And you know, y'all are looking at me like you don't know anything I'm talking about. Anybody relate to me today? Can I just get one or two witnesses in here? All right, praise the Lord. There's several wicked people with me here. All right, good. But I just didn't want to feel alone in my sin. But then I graduated. But notice the progression of the music. And then I went from that to more heavier music, heavier rock music. I never got into metal or anything, but I was going that way. And it just progressed, I should say digressed, more and more and more and worse and worse and worse. To where, you know, you're just listening to nonsense, people screaming into a microphone and playing drums and guitar and bass and it just being really loud. That music was leading me further and further from Christ, not closer and closer. Now look, that music was obviously a step off, but there's a lot of music today that's just not leading you anywhere. But your music should be leading you and drawing you closer to Jesus Christ. When you're listening to music, is it drawing you to Christ? I told a story a couple weeks ago about being at the stoplight here and driving up and hearing this loud screaming sound. And I was like, what is that? Some of you didn't hear that story, but there was a tiny little old lady in this car next to me. I had the windows down. She had hair sticking straight up in the air, short hair. She had, it looked like she was 114, but you know, she was singing a 7-Eleven song, but she was praising Jesus loudly. And I was like, you go, Granny. That is awesome. She's like, I praise you, Jesus. And she is just at the stoplight, just doing this and getting, it's awesome. It affected her. There was an affectation to that. And I thought that was great. The music we listen to should make us more holy, not less holy. If your music is leading you to live less holy, that's an indication it's not drawing you closer to Christ. Because the Bible says we're supposed to be conformed into the image of his son. Becoming more and more like Jesus. Is the music you listen to, it's shaping you, it's sanctifying you. Is that music drawing you closer to Christ? Are you more like Christ after you get out of your car tomorrow morning, after listening to music? Will you be more like Christ? Teenagers, when you're listening to music before school or whatever you listen to music, are you more like Christ after you get done? Or is it, I'm further away from Christ than I was before I started? Well, that's the wrong kind of music. Pastor, I just don't like the psalms. I don't like the hymns. I don't like the spiritual songs. That's not a taste problem. That's a heart problem. I won't say that again. I just don't like it. It's just not my taste. If you don't like songs that have good doctrine, that's not a taste problem, that's a heart problem. There should be, look, there's truth in that song. It may not, I don't like the seventh chord here, and why is there a diminished in there? But I don't care so much. But I love the truth of that song. That's a heart issue. Because these are songs we're told to sing, psalms. And you look at the book of Psalms in your Bible, you know what that was? That was the hymn book for Israel, the hymn book. Notice those things that they were singing about. So we saw tonight, I have one more point, and I'm going to say a few things, and I'll be done. Our music should be different. Our music should be doctrinally sound. It should be doctrinal. There should be good teaching in it. Not only true teaching, but it should have teaching. It should be dedicated to God, all that we do for his honor and glory. It should be spiritually discerned. It should draw us to Christ, but also our music should not be dead. Thank you. Our music should not be dead. Jesus isn't dead, so our music shouldn't sound like a funeral. You can have godly music and life. You can. And we can stand up here and do this all we want, but we've all got to give it our best. We've all got to say, I've got life. When we have Stephanie and we have the ladies over here playing, or you're playing guitar or whatever those instruments are, and you're over there playing, I mean, there can be life in what we do. We're leading singing. There's passion in it because there's life in these words, because there's truth in these words. Well, Pastor, what will singing do for me? Singing will give you strength. Exodus 15:2. Singing is an aid to your prayer life. Psalm 100, verse 2. Singing increases your courage. Psalm 42, verse 8. Singing, it defeats your enemies. Singing gave miraculous victory to God's people in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Paul and Silas sang in prison in Acts chapter 16. Singing picks you up when you're down. Singing is essential. You need to sing. The most important singing is your singing to God. Can I just close by saying a few things very quickly here? Number one, I would say this. Sing to God when you're alone. Just sing to God. This will help you so much. Steal a songbook from the rack. No, don't do that, all right? But just sing to God. Take these songs. I know it's hard to do here in a congregation, but take them home with you. And in your quiet time, just sing to God. Well, I don't have a great voice. He knows. But he still loves to hear you sing. He loves to see your heart. Listen to good Christian music. Listen to good Christian music. I don't need to go into all of that. I could talk forever about what not good Christian music is. I want to say this, number three. Pick a gospel song to sing or hum or whistle through the day. Why not choose a song for your day? You're having a tough day? You're worried about something? How about just saying, my song for today is great as thy faithfulness. My song for the day is God leads us along, some through the water, some through the flood, all through the fire, but all through the blood. God leads his dear children along. Pick a song. Choose that song for your day and say, hey, this is my song today. I'm claiming this song. I'm living this song. I'm humming it. I'm whistling it today. You could also, if you want singing in your life, read a hymn a day. Just read one of the hymns in the hymnal. You can buy these hymnals from our bookstore. You want to just grab a hymnal and just read through it. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my life. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou my inheritance, now and always. Man, you read some of those songs and, oh, my soul, it'll strengthen you. It'll keep you. Read a hymn a day. Sing your heart out in church services. Stop caring what other people think and just sing. I remember when my wife and I first got here, we'd sit back here with all the teens that came off the buses, and so we'd have a service during the second hour. I remember we were singing It As Well one time, and I was like, that's it! And I just decided to just sing to the top of my lungs. And I was, you know, so at the end, you can choose to go up or down in the song, and I was like, I'm going up. And so at the end, I was just hitting the note. And I still remember, because I'm introverted. I still remember, like, six people just turning around and looking at me. And it was like, were they looking at me because they were like, or was it like, ugh, you know, I don't know. I have no idea. They just turned and stared at me. I probably woke them up, you know. But I was like, who cares? I remember sitting next to some of those guys from the bus service, never been to church till they were 17, and hearing them sing, And Can It Be? Hearing them, like, just, I'm singing the top of my lungs, so they felt comfortable singing because I was covering up them. So they're just singing. I'll never forget that. Sing your heart out at church. I want to say this lastly. If you have talent, use it for God. Some of you may be sitting on a secret talent, and that talent may be singing. Oftentimes, it's the person who says, I don't have the talent, that really does. And it's the people that say, oh, I've got a lot of talent, that don't. Pastor, I need to be singing solos. Guaranteed, you should not be. But maybe some of you say, Pastor, I can carry a tune. I think I could read notes if I practice. Then let's have you use that for the Lord. Use it for God so you can be a blessing to other people. Tonight, again, scratching the surface when it comes to music, but simple guidelines. Pray about it. And go home and evaluate. Oh, I know the music feels good, but what's it doing for you? Music is a tool. Are you using it right? Let's make sure that we're seeking what pleases God, not what pleases our flesh.